All right, welcome to episode 405 of the Divine Intervention Life Lessons podcast. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for a new day. Thank you for the opportunity to come and share your word. Thank you for bringing us pretty close to the end of the month of August. Just thank you for your many blessings towards us. Father, in any way we have sinned or erred, we pray for your mercy, for your forgiveness, and your cleansing. We pray that may you come and teach us from your word this morning and give us the grace to not just be hearers only, but also doers of your word. It's in your mighty name we pray. Amen. So, today, I'm going to be speaking on a topic titled resourcefulness. Resourcefulness. Or you can even title this, what do you have in your hands? What do you have in your hands? And my anchor scripture is going to be taken from the book of Genesis chapter 21. Genesis chapter 21. I'll read from verses 14 to 18. And I'll read from the New Living Translation, right? And, let's read. And then I'll give some preamble, right? So Abraham got up early the next morning, prepared food and a container of water, and strapped them on Hagar's shoulders. Then he sent her away with her son, with their son, and she wandered aimlessly in the wilderness of Beersheba. When the water was gone, she put the boy in the shade of a bush. Then she went and sat down by herself about 100 yards away. I don't want to watch the boy die, she said, as she burst into tears. But God heard the boy crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven. Hagar, what's wrong? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. Go to him and comfort him, for I will make a great nation from his descendants. Let me read a few more verses. And then verse 19 says, then God opened Hagar's eyes, and she saw a well full of water. She quickly filled her water container and gave the boy a drink. And then verse 20, and God was with the boy as he grew up in the wilderness. He became a skillful archer, and he settled in the wilderness of Paran. So that's verse 21. His mother arranged for him to marry a woman from the land of Egypt. All right, so may the Lord bless the reading of his word in Jesus' name. Amen. So what does it mean to be resourceful? Many of us think of resourcefulness as using what you have and getting maximum benefit and yield from it. Using what you have and getting maximum benefit and yield from it, right? And just as a bit of a preamble from this reading, so remember Hagar was a slave that Abraham picked up in the land of Egypt, and he had a child with her. The child was named Ishmael, and Sarah finally did have a child, Sarah, which was Abraham's wife. And when Sarah had a child, when she had Isaac, she chased Hagar and Ishmael, she told Abraham to send them away. Abraham was, was Sarah's husband, right? So the thing is, Hagar got sent away and, she was sent away with some supplies, but it seems like she ran out of food supplies. And then she's like, oh, I don't want to watch this boy die. She was crying and everything. And then the boy was also crying, Ishmael, but God opened up Hagar's eyes and she saw water, and she gave the boy a drink, right? So you may be like, Divine, how does this relate to resourcefulness? Well, the thing is, this well of water was around her, but her eyes just had to be opened to it, and then she was able to feed her, basically feed her son. So how does this relate to resourcefulness? Well, the thing is, many times, many of us pray. We're like, oh God, I need a better job. I need a better business. I need this. I need that. I need this. I need that. But the thing is, many people are not taking advantage of what they have in their hands, right? Resourceful. Many people are praying for stuff, but God actually already has their provision with them. But those resources are not being utilized well. Basically, the answer to these people's prayers is literally in their hands, but they're not using it, right? This well full of water was around Hagar, but she was sitting there and watching her son die, right? So I want to ask you a question today. Those things that the Lord has placed in your hands, what are you using them for? Are you resourceful? Are you enterprising? Many people don't think of it this way, but the Lord wants us to be enterprising people. He wants us to be what? To be enterprising people. To be enterprising people, right? And the thing is, God wants you to do utilization management well. I'm telling you this, many people, I've seen this many times in medicine, many times, because I work with a lot of students. You see students like, oh, what other resource can I use? What other resource can I use to study for this USMLE exam? But the resources that they have in their hands, they have not utilized it wisely, right? Or they say, oh, I wish I had more time. Man, if I had more time, I could study more. I could do this. I could do that. But look at the content of how they spend their day. And you notice that they waste profound amounts of time, right? Or you see people, you know, they're in the hostel, you know, they're residents, and they have like, they're like, oh, I'm always so slammed. I never have enough time to get through all my patients, to get through all my notes. I have to be finishing my notes the next day. But check, how are they using their time? Guys, see, resources, right? Time is a resource. How do you use your resources? Do you use them wisely? Because the thing many people don't realize is that something that is seemingly mundane, something that is seemingly small, God can make very big things out of it. The Bible says, though thy beginning was small, thy latter end shall greatly increase. Thy latter end shall greatly increase. Right? God can take something that is small, right, if utilized wisely in line with his will, to make something big out of it. Right? I mean, think about it. Look at Apostle Paul. Look at what God used him for. But Apostle Paul was very, very resourceful. He used every opportunity that God placed in his path to really share the gospel, to really, really share the gospel, right? Or for example, look at the miracle of 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, right? They had a, you know, there was this whole issue of, and it's in the New Testament, there was this whole issue of, oh, how are we going to feed this crowd of 5,000 people? You know, not counting the, I think, not even counting the women and children. But resourcefulness. Jesus was like, hey, what's here? Hey, there's a boy here that has 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. God was able to use that, you know, by his miraculous power to feed a large number of people, right? So the thing is, stop looking outside. Start looking inwards. Like, hey, what has the Lord placed in my path? What talents and giftings has the Lord given me, right? Like literally, your time is a valuable resource. Are you using your time wisely, right? The Bible says, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. You may see some people, if they actually used their time more wisely, they'd actually make a lot more from their lives. Their lives will actually be more productive and prosperous, right? Or like, for example, you know, if you go to the book of Judges chapter 4, either Judges 4 or Judges 5, right? There was this person that was terrorizing the Israelites. His name was Sisera, right? And he came to the tent of a lady called Jael, right? And the thing is, Jael was able to use a hammer and a tent peg to bring about a great victory for Israel, right? She didn't use any high-tech tools, nothing, just a hammer and a tent peg. And she brought about great victory. Somebody that was terrorizing the Israelites, right? Again, resource management, right? So look around. And the thing is, there are certain principles I think will be very helpful with resourcefulness, right? Number one is for God to open your eyes. Because the thing is, some people are completely blind to their miracle, completely blind to their miracle tools, right? Like literally, the Bible says in the book of, Genesis chapter 21, verse 19, then God opened Hagar's eyes. Again, many times people don't realize that, wait, that thing that God is going to use to achieve great and mighty things through me is already around me right now, right? So if you're blinded to those things, ask the Lord to open your eyes. Ask the Lord to open your eyes. Ask the Lord to open your eyes. That's number one. Principle number two is to ask the Lord for wisdom, right? Because the thing is, you may have something in your hand and you may not see the great harvest that can come from that thing. Think about it. A great harvest, right? A tree or plant that comes forth and brings forth all this fruit. It started from a small seed. But sometimes knowing how to transform that seed to fruit, it may not be something you're able to do. So ask the Lord for wisdom. The book of James says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, right? Because the thing is, there are many people that, you know, there are many very successful products out there that have been created by a company or by an individual, and they've made that individual or that company billions of dollars. But there's people that are biting themselves that, man, I had the same idea. I knew that I could work this thing to make a good amount of money, but they didn't have the wisdom, right, to translate those things. So I will encourage you, ask the Lord for wisdom. Ask the Lord for wisdom. Ask the Lord for wisdom, right? That thing you have in your hand, do you have a gift for teaching? Do you have a gift for cooking? You don't know, a big conglomerate may be hidden in that gift of teaching, or in that gift of speaking, or in that gift of cooking, or in that gift of explaining things to people. You never know how far the Lord can take you. And then number three is hard work, right? Is hard work. Hard work, right? Many people are not willing to work hard. If you remember the parable of the talents, right? Some people are very lackadaisical with life. The parable of the talents, they all got different talents, right? One got five talents, one got two talents, one got one talent, right? The five talent person and the two talent person, they traded with those talents and they made gains. They made gains, right? People are very lazy, right? People would rather sit around than work their ground. I'm going to say that again. People would rather sit around than work their ground. So get off your butt and get to work. Work that ground that the Lord has placed you in. And then the fourth and final principle I'm going to discuss is to surrender your seed to God. Surrender your seed to God. Put your thing in God's hands. Use what you have in your hands for the glory of God. Because the thing is, the person that can bring multiplication is God. There's a Bible verse that says that Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. God gave the increase. The five loaves of bread and two fish, who gave increase to that? It was Jesus Christ, right? So I will encourage you, surrender your gifts, surrender your time. Like tell God that, hey, God, you know what? My time, my talents, my treasures, I'm going to use it for you. I'm going to use it for your will and your will alone. I'm going to use it for your glory and not for my own glory, right? And see how far the Lord will take that thing that he has placed in your hands, right? Submit it to God. Don't use the gifts and talents and the resources that the Lord has given you for evil. Don't use it for nefarious purposes. Don't bury it. Don't use it for the kingdom of darkness. Don't use it for worldly pursuits. Use it for godly pursuits, and God will multiply those things. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word that we have heard this morning. Give us the grace to not just be hearers only of your word, but to also be doers, to apply your word so that your word can make impact in our lives. And Father, I pray for all those listening to this podcast that have not surrendered their lives to you. I pray for their salvation. I pray for conviction. I pray that they will call on you. Your word says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I pray for their conviction. I pray for their salvation. And I pray for a turnaround in their lives. Have your way, Lord, as we go into a new week. Glorify your name in our lives, in our families, and in all our affairs. And give us the grace to be a light and to be salt everywhere we go. This we ask in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And if you've not surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, I will really encourage you to listen to episodes 254 and 287 on the website. Again, I'm not a commitment extractor, but I'm telling you this, accepting the Lord Jesus into your life is one of the best decisions you can make for yourself. So I will encourage you, listen to those podcasts. It tells you about the cost, the true cost of salvation, because I'm not selling it as a bed of roses. Absolutely not, because that's not true, right? There is a cost to following Jesus, but trust me, it is the best life decision you can make. So it talks about the cost of following Jesus. And then if you do decide to surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, you can join me in a prayer at the end of episode 254 to surrender your life to the Lord. All right. So thank you for listening to me today. I will see you, God willing, in episode 406. Have a wonderful day. God bless you, and bye for now. Shalom.